Grace and peace be to you, dear friends in Christ, and especially you candidati reverendi ministerii, the class of cohort SMP cohort 2013. On behalf of your ministry, your mentors, your family, your friends, your congregations, and indeed the whole church, as we celebrate a call day today that anticipates and is connected to a call day coming for others in this assembly in a couple of weeks. So how do you deal with powerful people in your lives and maybe even at your dinner table? How was your Easter dinner? Of whom it may be said, you can't live with them and you can't live without them. You can choose your friends, but not your relatives. Much of this is extremely profound regarding God Himself. Contrary to popular belief, which would have us live quite happily without God, without taking God very seriously, if at all, the presence of God in this world and in our lives is a matter of serious, dare I say, even grave importance. And contrary to popular belief, which would have us believe that when God is with me, He is automatically with me as my friend and buddy, maybe my genie in the bottle with divine power to solve my problems and do my bidding, or maybe even a divine therapist to get me through the hard spots of my life, the presence of God with us is actually a very dangerous and even deadly prospect. And yet we know that God wants to be with us, not just in power, but in grace. It is true that we truly fear and love God. This is what Israel experienced as a band of Hebrew slaves, delivered from Egypt by the mighty hand and an outstretched arm, by mighty signs and wonders, by Yahweh, the God of Israel, and oh, by the way, also of Egypt. And then they came to Sinai, Exodus 19. A couple of months, way back there in Lent, appropriately, on the other side of the mountain, Professor Egger preached on Exodus 19, and he noted the restrictions or the requirements to put a fence around the mountain. And he's noted rather humorously, but somewhat profoundly, that that would be a rather odd form of congregational outreach. To surround your church with a chain link fence that says, "Danger, do not enter, Yahweh is here. Enter at risk of stoning or being shot with arrows," as the text says. Of course, that's not the whole story. The point was that they could come to the mountain. God actually wanted them at the mountain, but only when God said they could. Lest they force their way and break through as an unholy people in the deadly presence of the holy God. They could approach. We can approach, but only on God's terms, not ours. Thank God for that. So here today, on the other side of that book of the covenant, Exodus 19 to 24, defined in large part by the statement in Exodus 20, verse 1, "I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, from a slave house." Here in Exodus 24, we have a wonderful twist to the story. God actually invites Moses and the leaders into his holy presence. Sacrifices have been made. both sacrifices for sin and sacrifices that represented the shalom, fellowship, koinonia offerings of communion with one another and with God. Blood has been shed, poured out, and thrown first on the altar and then on the people to show how the blood makes the connection from altar to people. And now the text says they see, they beheld the God of Israel. Well, sort of, I suppose. At his feet there was this heavenly pavement, blue like sapphire. You see, no one could see God face to face and live. He is a powerful God indeed, and being in his presence is still a dangerous thing. But here is the wonderful surprise. They see God. And they ate and they drank. And God did not send forth his hand against them. As the text says it so gracefully. No longing for the flesh pots of Egypt or all the vegetables of that land, not here. This was a feast of victory, a foretaste of the Lamb's high feast indeed, from hurried Passover to Easter dinner. But there's more. Moses and his understudy, his vicar, Joshua, kind of like an SMP mentor and candidate, wouldn't you say? They find out that they've got a little bit more on the docket that day. It wasn't about going up higher, even right into the thick cloud, but it was about being in the middle, mediating God's Torah, getting it right, finally Moses alone, 40 days and 40 nights, so that he might mediate God's word and God's means of grace. Not about their status, but about their role. Frankly, the people were just as glad that Moses did this for them. When Moses recounts all of this later in Deuteronomy, he reminds them that they were afraid to go up on the mountain with all the lightning and fire and thunder. And they said to Moses, why should we get close to God lest we die? You get in the middle. You get in there. You see, getting close to God does mean responsibility and work and even some danger. But hey, somebody's got to do it. Yes, somebody gets to do it. And so this day we celebrate 16 more sons of the prophets, and soon many more going out from this place, following in the prophetic train of Moses and Aaron and Joshua and the prophets, prophets, priests, and leaders who are privileged, yes, even challenged to get right in the middle, right into the thick of things. Whether studying the breadth and depth of theology or risking life and even security for the sake of God's word. Mediating the means of grace. Setting the banquet table with a little help from your altar guild, to be sure. But even presiding at the meal on behalf of the host. And declaring the presence of the glory of God, which, as St. Paul reminds us, we have seen in the face of Jesus Christ. who gave up all that power, even unto death, death on a cross for us. Here, O Lord, we see you face to face. Like the Emmaus disciples, we recognize the risen Christ in the breaking of bread. Here at the Lamb's high feast, we sing. Here we gather as the people of God, the body of Christ, in worship and praise, and then to live out our lives as God's people into all the world. What a joy, dear brothers, in Christ and in the holy ministry. What a privilege, dear pastors and would-be pastors all. What a feast, dear family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, to see God and to eat and to drink in his holy presence, and then to go forth into all the world giving witness that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And so lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.